The Steve Gerber Show is rolling full steam ahead. Here's Steve.
Let's dance in style. Let's dance for a while. Haven't come wait. We're only watching.
Welcome back to the Steve Gerber Show. Glad to have you here as we've been talking about February. Is America Heart Awareness Month, and we want to make sure that you're healthy and doing well. We want to make sure you're here tomorrow and the day after that and for years to come. And so we've had some different cardiologists join us here on the program from Spero, the Spero Thoracic and Cardiovascular Institute,
better known as Spero TCI.
Joining me now, Dr. Matthew Wilcox. Doctor, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
When should somebody start being concerned about heart health? I mean, I raised that question because I had two people that I knew well in my life, both men. One died of a heart attack at 39. The other one, I think, was 42. Both young people that you wouldn't think had any concerns about their health, and yet the outcome was not good. I mean, when should somebody start considering such things?
That's a great question. I think, obviously, several factors play into that question, but the immediate answer is that we should all be trying to partake in heart-healthy activities as early as we can. Things such as not smoking, keeping ourselves active, trying to be active each week 4 to 5 times per week for 30 to 40 minutes at a time, trying to engage in low-fat and healthy diets, as well as trying to make sure that we maintain good blood pressure and blood sugar rates as we can. Because unfortunately, as you mentioned with your friends, we're seeing over and over that this population, despite advances in technology, seems to be getting younger and younger, where we're seeing events happen.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, I believe when you talk about blood pressure, extremely important. Hypertension can lead to all sorts of critical conditions and problems. But just recently, the guidelines for what is considered to be high blood pressure have been retooled, if I'm not mistaken, down to 130 over 80. Why this move?
I think every study that is performed shows that the lower the people's blood pressures are controlled to, the less sequelae or secondary effects that we see, whether that is heart disease, vascular disease, kidney disease, strokes, less effect on things in the brain and vision and eye changes. Every secondary effect of lower blood pressure seems to keep showing positive effects in studies that the lower maintain people's blood pressures at, the less secondary problems that they'll have.
Well, extremely important to keep an eye on the blood pressure. Now, I've been in pretty good shape for blood pressure, but I've noticed over the last couple of years it's creeped up a little bit higher than it used to be. I still think I'm just within the acceptable range of 130 over 80. At what point do you recommend patients consider blood pressure medications?
I think the individualization of choices of medications versus secondary diet and exercise and, as we say, lifestyle changes is definitely has to be adjusted for each patient with their physician. But certainly, if your blood pressure is consistently over 140 over 85, 140 over 90, you definitely will want to work with your primary care physician. It doesn't mean that it always has to be medications. Certainly, there are dietary changes. Decreases in salt intake. There's increases in exercise. There's weight loss. There is treatment of sleep apnea. There are certainly many, many things that you can focus on that doesn't have to be pharmacologic immediately. But if you are consistently seeing blood pressures over, 140 over 85, 140 over 90, there's definitely a conversation you'll want to have with your physician.
Now, you mentioned something that I want to focus on just a little bit, Dr. Wilcox, and that is sleep. I don't think people really realize how important and critical sleep is, not just in heart health, but in health in general. I think it gets overlooked a lot.
Sleep is obviously exceedingly important. One just has to look at trials that look at the detrimental effects of sleep apnea, whether it's obstructive or what we call central sleep apnea, and look at the secondary effects of long-term hypertension, pulmonary hypertension, which is increased pressure in the lungs, decreased metabolism, and even such drastic things as sudden cardiac death, although rare, to know that sleep cycle and the number of hours of sleep and quality sleep that a patient gets is exceedingly important.
I can feel myself when I have not enough sleep that I don't feel healthy, and I think that's true. Now, time-wise, in a busy world, it's hard to get people to move 4 to 5 times a day for some sort of vigorous exercise for 20 or 30 minutes. What's your rule of thumb? How do you get people to start making? I mean, that's a big lifestyle change for a lot of folks these days. How do you get them there?
Yeah, it's actually 4 to 5 times per week. I'm sorry if I said that wrong the first time, but 4 to 5 times per week, trying to get people to, you know, to have at least a moderate level of exercise for, you know, 30 to 40 minutes if we can. I think it's definitely, it's hard for everyone. I understand that, but it's a lifestyle change that's imperative to make for many, many people. Obviously, it has positive effects on your blood pressure, your blood sugar, your cholesterol, your overall mental health. The amount of positive hormone release that is obtained from exercise is helpful to many people. And obviously, it has secondary effects, hopefully, of some weight loss in patients that may need it. But independent of weight loss, it still has a positive effect for all those other secondary risk factors.
Certainly. Dr. Matthew Wilcox here, cardiologist with the Spiro Thoracic and Cardiovascular Institute, TCI. One other thing that I'll touch on real quickly, and less people do it today than they did 5 years ago or 25 years ago, that, of course, being smoking. You mentioned it a minute ago. But clearly smoking, you know, constricts blood vessels, creates pressure. Nothing good about it when you're talking about taking care of your health now, is there?
No, unfortunately, smoking is still a major issue. We'd like to think that it is tremendously decreased, but that's not the case and plays a major role in why we see younger people having events. Not obviously all cases, but it does play a significant part. It causes constriction of the arteries. It makes them more liable to accumulate cholesterol. Obviously, the other changes, not even cardiac-wise, that you see with in the form of emphysema or lung cancer, it increases your risk of stroke. So there unfortunately are not any positive effects of tobacco utilization for anyone.
There you go. For anybody that's listening right now that you think you might have any questions about your cardiac health, you should contact your physician. If you're anywhere in Lower Michigan, you can contact Spiro TCI at 517-364-9650. That's 517-364-9650. Dr. Matthew Wilcox with us from Spiro today. Doctor, I'll give you the last word on cardiac health going forward.
So what we'd like to see with patients is to take a proactive approach to your cardiac health. As we've mentioned, things as healthy diet, increased exercise, smoking cessation. There's things you obviously can't control, like your family history or the fact that we're all aging. But those modifiable risk factors that you can change, we would want people at a younger age to try to take that approach and hopefully not have to utilize our services. We're here if people need them, but we would love to find out that in years to come that patients are able to change those factors that they can change and less cardiovascular death and cardiovascular events happen.
There you go. Move more, eat less, don't smoke, take care of your heart. Dr. Matthew Wilcox, thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
There you go. And if you want to get an appointment again at the Spiro Thoracic and Cardiovascular Institute, the phone number is 517-364-9650.